Community Connections at CKMS. Local sounds, thoughts, passions, and success. Celebrate local. Your neighbor's got a story to tell. Community Connections at CKMS.
Happy Friday, Waterloo Region. It is the 3rd of February, 2023. Possibly the coldest day of the winter so far. But that's all right, because we're inside the studio. We've got Kate Glasson in with me. Hi, Kate.
Hello.
We're going to be talking about her petition to the Government of Canada to allow asylum for trans and non-binary people to claim asylum in Canada for persecution in their own countries.
Yes.
Talk to Kate in just a bit. We're going to listen to Dichroma. This is from their album 3 called Thirsty.
How much more can I take? Just how much will it take to break me? Well, how much more can you give? Oh, I'll drink your bitter glass. I'll drink your bitter glass of misery. Claim me.
That's Dichroma from Toronto with their album 3, and emailed me, said, are you ever going to play our album on the air? And I said, sure. So today is the day we're doing that. Got Kate Klassen in the studio with me. Hi, Kate.
Hello.
Welcome back to Community Connections.
My pleasure to be here.
You've got something interesting going on.
I do.
You have initiated a petition with the Canadian government. You want to give us some background on why this is necessary and then what the petition is asking for?
Yeah, the petition is asking for asylum protections to be extended to trans people because of eliminationist laws in their own country.
And eliminationist laws are?
Well, what Trump was talking about yesterday when he said, for instance, that if he was elected on day one, he would make it so that nobody could be anything but their birth gender, nobody could access any medical care, nobody could change their gender markers. Basically, he wants to outlaw trans people.
Really?
Yeah.
And it's not just happening in the U.S. That's a recent development in the U.S., but
it's also
like
happening
this
in the U.K.
In the U.K. as well.
Yeah.
Also a recent thing there. Yeah. But in other areas of the world, this has been happening as a matter of course for many, many years.
Yes, in various places, yeah.
Yeah. And so you've initiated a petition which says...
Basically that ordinarily we would consider the U.S. and the U.K. as safe third countries.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm hoping to do is that in the interest of avoiding what I perceive as a coming genocide, and I'm not exaggerating there, I'm really not being hyperbolic, that we don't turn away people like we did to St. Louis back in 1938.
And St. Louis was?
A ship from the Third Reich full of people trying to get away.
Mm-hmm.
And we turned it away, and so did the United States, and it went back to Europe, and a third of the people on that ship died.
Yeah, I think Canada has a history of doing things like that, because there were other ships with asylum seekers on from from India, from other countries that have also been turned away and denied asylum.
Yeah.
So Canada has some catching up to do.
Indeed. Yeah. Indeed.
So you initiated the petition?
Last Thursday, and we hit 18,000 signatures today, so I'm pretty pleased about that. I don't know where we're at now. We shot up 4,000 in about 10 hours yesterday, so we got a tweet from Aaron in the Morn, Aaron Reed, trans journalist in the States.
Looking at the petition online right now, it says 18,388 signatures.
Nice.
So if you're listening and you want to help people in other countries gain asylum in Canada because they've been persecuted for their gender expression, sign the petition. It is petition number E-4268. You can get at that at the website petitions.rcommons.ca/en/P petition, %E-4268. That's an awful thing to have to say on the radio. So we'll have links on our show notes, which you can get at radiowaterloo.ca/CCC, which is another mouthful, but a smaller mouthful. So I don't know if you have the text of the petition in front of you there. You want to read that out?
Sure. Whereas the world is becoming increasingly hostile to transgender and non-binary individuals, whereas transgender and non-binary people's rights to live as themselves are being restricted and removed in many places, that this includes the so-called Western democracies, which have historically been presumed safe. The United Kingdom is revising their Equality Act to exclude trans people from its protections. More than a dozen American states have enacted or are considering legislation eliminating or criminalizing gender-affirming care. They've introduced 161 bills so far this year.
Hmm.
It's only, February 4th?
That's been since this
session. January 1st.
Since January 1st. My goodness. So another bill isn't going to overwhelm them.
No. Canada has prided itself on being an inclusive, tolerant, and welcoming society for everyone, regardless of gender identity or gender expression. We, the undersigned residents of Canada, can be permanent residents or citizens, call upon the House of Commons to extend to transgender and non-binary people the right to claim asylum in Canada by reason of eliminationist laws in their home countries, whatever country that may be.
Yeah.
That's the key phrase, is that very last one, whatever country that may be.
So that doesn't deny people the right to claim asylum from what is considered a safe third country.
Exactly.
Yeah. Safe third countries are countries that
are considered a place where a refugee should be able to claim asylum and safely stay.
Right. And then not eligible for refugee status in Canada.
Exactly, yeah. And I said earlier genocide, and I do mean that. And the reason that I say that is because what a lot of people really don't know about the Holocaust is that it started with the trans people. Hmm. There was Magnus Hirschfeld, a Jewish doctor, who ran the Sexualwissenschaft Institute in Berlin, where he studied trans people, where he studied gay people. He was researching surgeries, hormones, all kinds of things. Mm-hmm. Really useful stuff, doing huge amounts of data, and he coined the word transsexual. He was the first person to use that word. So yeah, he also arranged with the prefects of police in Berlin that trans people could get a special pass that would allow them to be out and about as themselves. It was a transvestite pass or something.
And that was already the case long before the rise of Nazism to power.
Exactly. In Germany, Berlin in particular, was the gay capital of the world in the 20s and 30s.
Yes, yeah.
And then the Nazis came to power, and it was the first thing they tore down. They came to the Institute. Magnus Hirschfeld was overseas. I think he was actually in Austria, but anyway, he was out of the country. And they pulled all the books out and piled them in the street and burned them, and including all his research, except for the files that he kept on all the people that he was treating. They kept those.
Hmm.
Because then they rounded everybody up.
Yeah.
And sent them to the camps. And the worst part about that is, when those people came through the war and were liberated, the few of them who did live through the camps for the whole war, when they were liberated, so to speak, they were put back in jail.
Right. We think that people who survived the Holocaust, got out of the concentration camps, led happy, joyous lives, possibly in a different country, but no, that's not the case for the transgender people.
And gay people, yeah. West Germany had laws, paragraph 175, which said that homosexual activity was forbidden, and they didn't actually repeal that to 1994.
Really?
Yeah. They stopped enforcing it in 69, I think, or 71, somewhere around there.
Yeah. Canada had laws against homosexuality
until
as well.
1969, yes.
Yeah.
And in fact, later in the military, 1992, wasn't until 1992 that you could be queer in the military.
Right. And was that with that don't ask, don't tell?
No, that was more an American thing. It was very much before 1992, it was very much illegal. Like, you get caught, you go to jail. It happened to me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was in the military. And matter of fact, it was in West Germany at the time.
The irony.
And it was 1986, excuse me. I was 20, and I was put in jail for a couple of weeks and then sent home.
Discharged?
Discharged.
Dishonorably.
No, yeah. I managed to argue that they should give me a medical discharge because my knee was wonky. The reason I was able to do that was I basically said, look, if you give me a dishonorable, that's as bad as a felony conviction. It's the same thing, right?
Yeah.
So I'll have nothing to lose. If you do that, the first thing I'm going to do when I get off the plane back in Canada is go to the Toronto Star and tell them my story. And you can explain why you kicked me out.
Yeah.
That's the first thing I'll do, and I will absolutely do it. And they believed me, and they gave me a medical discharge.
I can see why they should have believed you.
Yeah. Oh, I absolutely would have done it, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that was Canada. It's,
yeah.
1969 for the general population, and then
92 for the military.
92 for the military.
Yeah.
And what's happening now in the UK? UK passed or had anti-homosexuality laws.
For many years.
Yeah.
Yeah. Alan Turing, of course, fell famously victim to this.
Yes.
Took his own life. It was going fairly well, and then about 3 or 4 years ago, things started to turn bad. I don't know what caused it, what started it, but the TERFs, which is trans-exclusive radical feminists, people who really just hate trans people.
People who claim to be feminists, but say...
But hate trans people.
Trans people aren't feminine, so they can't be included in this. Yeah.
Not only that, but they say trans men are being stolen from lesbianism, and it's all really weird and strange. And
it's an irrational thing, so you can't bring any reason to it.
You can't logic them out of it.
Yeah.
So But they started to get some traction in the newspapers. And then, unfortunately, J.K. Rowling came out as being a TERF and identified herself with that word.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. And she has since then become basically a huge internet troll. Anytime she cruises Twitter looking for people saying things about her, if she comes across a trans person doing that, she sicks her followers on them.
Hmm.
Among other people who follow her are a group called Kiwi Farms. Kiwi Farms is an online troll organization who specialize in brigading trans women to try and get them to take their own lives.
Really?
Yes, by harassment.
Wow. That was such a sheltered life.
Yeah. And they also like to SWAT people. So they call
swatting,
in,
swatting
they,
is.
They call in to the police and say that something is going on in your home and the police need to respond with SWAT. So they do, and people often get killed.
Because the police don't
know any better at the time. They can't know any better. As far as they have concerned, they have to take it seriously.
So they're assuming that there's some kidnapping taking place, gun violence.
Yeah.
And they rush in, break down the door, guns drawn, and if there should happen to be somebody who isn't gender normative, they're likely to be a target just for that alone.
It could be.
Yeah.
And then, so Monday, I was searching on links to my petition, because I wanted to see how it had spread in the media and online and so on. Because we started it with just two posts, one Twitter and one Mastodon post.
Mm-hmm.
And everywhere it's gotten since then has come from that. So,
really?
Yeah, that's the 18,000 that we've got so far. So Monday, I'm checking the links, and I find one is at Kiwi Farms.
Really?
Yes, there's a link at Kiwi Farms, and it's... it's in a thread filled with absolute vile transphobic garbage.
I'll be linking to Kiwi Farms in our show notes. That's probably not a good thing.
Oh, definitely not. No, they're bad, bad people. But my name is the only one on the petition that you can see.
Because you're the
Because I'm
of
the instigator of it, the initiator of it. So, yeah, my name's the only one on there. So that's why I've ended up locking down my social media a little bit. And I made arrangements with the local police service to take care of my security needs and things like that. So
what's come to that, has it?
Oh yeah.
My goodness.
Yeah. It's an abundance of caution, but I'm being careful. Because they've done it before and they've done it to people in Canada. Keffel's Twitch streamer last summer in London was swatted right out of her home. I mean,
really?
They woke her up with guns in her face sort of thing. And she fled to a hotel where they found her again and again and again, and she had to keep flying. People were raising money for her to be able to keep going. Yeah, it's a real problem.
Yeah. Well, talk about what is causing that sort of thing. I'll bet it has a lot to do with online vitriol.
It is. Yeah, it is. They have a particular hate on for trans people, and I don't know what it is, but they've got it, and they're not letting go. And it's spreading. It's spreading into the right wing all over the place.
Yeah. If it wasn't there to begin with.
Yeah. But it wasn't. And this is the thing. I'm telling you. I transitioned 30 years ago. And it wasn't like this. It wasn't like this. 5 years ago, there was nothing like this.
The out and out hate directly against.
Yeah. The vile hatred that we're facing right now. It wasn't happening.
Yeah.
It really wasn't. We just weren't on their radar.
I wonder what caused that. I wonder what made that happen. Is it?
It was a deliberate thing coordinated by, among other people, J.K. Rowling.
Yeah.
She uses her money to support legislation efforts against trans people in other countries, in Canada, in the U.S., anywhere she can, basically. Because she's got billions, so, you know, she can spend money on whatever she wants, sort of thing. So.
And it's just completely beyond my comprehension.
Yeah.
So I think I need a music break.
Yeah.
Okay. More Dichroma. This is from the album 3 again. It's called Dead to Me. I don't know if that's prophetic or not. Dichroma on CKMS FM Community Connections.
Inside of her, and yes, there's something dead in her. And
another abrupt end to a song. Keeps catching me by surprise. That's Dichroma. Wonderful sounds to them. Yeah. Like the call them the aluminum of heavy metal. I'm not sure Aaron Dahl would appreciate that categorization.
Probably not.
But I like the music, so
yeah.
We'll play that some more later on. Got Kate Glasson in the studio with me. Kate, author of the petition to grant asylum to transgender and non-binary individuals who were persecuted in their home countries.
Yeah.
That's not quite the wording of it.
Close enough.
How do you get a petition to the government?
I started by approaching an MP. Not my MP, because my MP is Bartosz Czager, and I didn't think that was going to be as good an approach as possible. So I went to Mike Morris instead,
okay.
Whom I've known personally for a few years. Before he was elected, I knew him. He came to Spectrum to talk to us about the community before he was elected.
Okay, yeah.
And so I got to know him then. He's a good guy and a strong ally to the community, so I figured it was a good choice. And he was enthusiastic about the idea and suggested that we start with a petition. And the idea is that you need to get 500 signatures. Now, I thought maybe we'd be having a little bit of luck and we might get, you know, a little, maybe double that. That'd be great.
Mm-hmm.
So I set the petition to 4 months.
Well, you have a choice in how long the petition stays online.
Yeah, anywhere from 30, 60, 90, 120 days. So I picked 120 days because I figured we might need it. We don't need it. We only needed 500 signatures, and we've got 18,300 and something.
18,512.
500. Okay.
Yeah, so that's popped up 200 in the last 20 minutes.
It's nice.
Excellent. Keep it up, folks.
Yeah, good stuff. And we haven't even started the press push yet. This is the first interview I've done about it. So
really? Well, hopefully you'll get some higher-profile stations as well.
Yeah.
I think you've got a good run with the community station, though, because I have a feeling that community radio is far more aligned with the interests of trans people and non-binary people and the queer community in general.
Yeah.
So that said, we don't have a great deal of queer content on our radio station. So I'm hoping to talk to somebody at Spectrum. Scott Williams, the executive director of Spectrum.
That's right.
Scott, if you're out there, I'm going to be contacting you and hopefully get you on the community radio as well.
Mm-hmm.
So the wording of the petition, it's nicely written. Who does that?
Actually, a friend of mine helped me with it. I wrote the sort of general gist of it, and then my friend went over it. They've got a lot of experience with writing grants and things like that to the government, so they figured they'd know the language. And so that's what they did.
Okay. Yeah, the translation to the French, because there's always a French version as well.
Yeah, they did that.
The
Parliament does that. It took them a long time to. I was a translator of French, so I get to say that. It took them like 3 days to get that short a text, and I'm like,
Really? Wow,
that shouldn't take you more than an hour.
Just overwhelmed with the number of petitions that they need to get translated.
Must be, yeah.
And so then you've got the text, you know what you want to say.
Mm-hmm.
How do you go about getting it someplace where somebody looks at it?
You submit it to the House of Commons on the website there and draft it up, copy in your text, and then the next step is to get 5 supporters. So you're allowed to pick up to 10 people. You submit their name and address, or name and email address,
mm-hmm.
and the House of Commons emails them, and the first 5 to respond become your supporters.
Okay.
And they're sort of listed at the top of the petition, but not publicly.
Okay, yeah, because looking at the webpage, there's no indication as to who those 18,000 folks are that have done the signing.
Yeah, they're good about that. I can't see who's got it either. I can't see who signed it either. It's not open to me.
Okay.
Once you got your supporters, then they send it back to the MP for approval. Once the MP has approved it, then they send it to the clerk for approval. Once the clerk has approved it, then they send it to translate it. And once it's translated, they put it up.
Okay. So from the time you got the idea and first wrote down the text of this to the date that it was published, how long did that take?
This text, probably about 3 weeks or so, and that's really just because I get depressed in the winter and things get slow.
Okay. And how long has this been percolating in your mind?
Since last summer.
Last summer.
Yeah.
It's been that long in getting to the point where something needs to be done.
Yeah. But, you know, when they started passing these laws and when the in the run-up to the American election in November, they were being really anti-trans. And in fact, we had problems with that in our local election, too, with the school board candidates.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And fortunately, we were able to push that back, and only one extra got on the school board compared to what there had been before. So,
I think that's just a reflection of how society has gone in that direction.
Yeah, it is. And it's disheartening. It's really, yeah. It's really disheartening. Like yeah. I said, I mean, it's 30 years that I've been transitioned, and this is easily the worst it's ever been. It's worse now than by far than 1992.
Yeah. Aside from the petition, which has put you in the spotlight, mm-hmm. have you felt the vibes of danger, of imminent attack here in downtown Kitchener?
Not recently, no.
No?
Not recently. But certainly I have other friends, younger friends, who do report concerns about that sort of thing.
Really?
You know, I know of one woman who is regularly harassed when walking through a particular part of Kitchener by the same person over and over again.
Yeah.
You know, just being transphobic and rude and just, you know, hello, sir, that sort of thing. You know, very...
To a woman.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just really shabby treatment. And,
yeah.
You know, you talk to the police, it doesn't rise to criminal harassment, so there's not much they'll do about it. They basically tell you to learn self-defense.
Yeah.
Great
advice.
Chances
are when something happens, there's more of them than there are.
Exactly. It's
yeah. So you said transphobic, but transphobic fear isn't really what's going on here. This is out-and-out hate.
It's
transmedia is a word that I heard.
It is, yeah. But I think it starts from phobia. I think it starts from fear and disgust. Right, there's a fear and disgust reaction that conservatives get, and you know there's been some research on this. There's some suggestion that they have an overactive amygdala, and that's part of what makes them conservative, because the amygdala is the fear center of the brain. It's where your fears grow from, and so if it's overactive, you are more likely to be fearful of more things,
and susceptible to other ideas that would make you even more fearful.
Exactly.
Wow.
Right, and there's a right-wing ecosystem of media out there that is set up to feed into those fears, and when they can identify one, they push it hard because it engages the base. Right, this is all for politics.
But it's so pervasive, especially online. Yeah. It's pervasive. So.
It is. It is.
I noticed that you had been on Twitter,
uh-huh.
and you've pretty much shut that down. Twitter has gone from a cesspool to a vitriol pool. It's just become worse and worse over the last, well, I guess 4 months or so since it was acquired by Elon Musk.
Yes, indeed.
Is that sort of thing, social media, Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat, those things, are those all contributing to the promotion of hate?
Oh, yeah, yeah, for sure. Yeah, I mean, you've got the account Libs of TikTok, right? It's a Twitter account that basically finds anybody who is queer, especially trans people, on TikTok and sicks her audience on them to harass them, to get them fired, to, you know, just basically make their life hell.
And you recently moved over to Mastodon, the Fediverse.
Yeah.
Is that a better space?
Much, much better. It's like the grown-up version of social media. It really is. That's just exactly how I describe it. It's the grown-up version of social media. Because there's no algorithms pushing enraging content in your face. If you curate a timeline that is friendly, then you will have a friendly timeline.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and that's not possible in a place like Twitter.
Definitely not. Not anymore.
Twitter pushes its algorithmic content to
you,
whether you want to see it or not.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, there we go. Selfies.
Yeah.
Looking at the timeline for, it's Kate the Old Lady. Old Lady plays at wargamers.social.
Yes.
Which is Kate's online Fediverse Mastodon account.
Yes.
Yeah. Having just broadcast that on the radio, I guess there's not much chance of you keeping that under wraps any longer.
No, but I've got follow requests on, so people will have to ask me to follow. And if you want to follow me and be approved, then make sure you have a bio.
A very nice looking banner image.
Oh, I love my banner.
Yeah. That says,
makes me so happy.
Kate, YT, Old Lady Plays.
Yeah.
So I asked you about playing. You're not playing music. You're not playing guitar.
Nope.
You're not playing piano. You're playing games.
I'm playing video games,
yeah.
Yeah, in fact, when the pandemic started, I got found by somebody on Reddit who wrote a post basically saying, you know, here's this old woman who's playing video games online. And everybody was so excited, I got 1,000 subs overnight. Well, not only that, but because it was the pandemic and all the sports had just shut down, nothing was going on. So the sports stations were all desperate for content. So I got on like 4 different radio stations. I was in Dubai. I was on in India. I was all over the place. It was crazy. Just talking about my YouTube channel.
Really?
Absolutely. It was really wild. I was in newspapers all over the world. It was just crazy stuff.
And what kind of stuff do you play on there?
I have two sort of areas that I do. One is a very niche video game called Football Manager, which is where you're the manager of a soccer team in Europe or South America or wherever. And, you know, you buy and sell players and you make up the team and you play the game against... You don't play the actual players. You're just the manager, right? Okay. You send them out there and they do their thing and then...
Okay. Is this like fantasy football based on the real live stats from real players?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so if one person, I don't know, Ronaldo Cristiano, is about the only name that I know in professional football nowadays.
Yeah.
If he does particularly well, then the team that you've set him up in does particularly well in turn. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so if you get to pick all the right players and your virtual team does well, and you're doing this head-to-head against other players.
No, I'm playing against the computer.
Oh, okay.
In this particular game.
So okay.
It's not quite fantasy football. It's like that, but it's not quite the same. But it's a lot of fun for me, and I've got some followers. They enjoy seeing it. Right now I'm doing one called The Linguistic Journeyman. A journeyman is where you take whatever job you can find and work your way up the ladder, sort of thing.
Right.
And my take on it as a linguistic journeyman is when I land in a country, I change the language of the game to the language of that country. So I start playing the game actually in this case, I started in Norway, so I started playing in Norwegian.
My goodness. All right. That's a whole level of skill that I didn't expect would take place in online gaming.
It's a lot of fun. I did it once before. I went from Norway now to Sweden, and then once I did well in Sweden, I got a job in Italy, so now in Italian, which is another language I don't speak. None of these languages I actually speak. I mean, I speak a lot of languages, but I don't speak Norwegian or Swedish or Italian.
So this is just reading and then
this
responding.
This is just reading and trying to figure out what they're saying. And the idea is to simulate being an actual coach who goes to a country and doesn't speak the language.
Right.
And has to just struggle their way through. And then, so that's how I play that game. And it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun.
But you are fairly adept at languages just in the course of your career.
I am, yeah. It's my career was as a translator of French, German, and Russian to English.
Yeah.
So.
And that was written translation?
Written translation, yeah. I can't do interpreting. It makes my head hurt.
Oh. different skill set, I guess.
Totally different skill set. When you're interpreting, you have to... The classic job of interpreting is you let the person you're interpreting say 2 sentences, and then you start saying what they said.
Oh, so you've got to memorize...
You have to keep those 2 sentences at the same time while they're still talking... Translate those 2 sentences while you're still listening to them say the next 2 sentences and just carry on from there. So you're producing and listening at the same time. I just couldn't do it.
That has to be complex.
It's really hard.
Would those translators also translate in reverse the other language back
to... No, not usually. No.
So you'd have 2 separate translators for either direction.
Yeah.
And when you were doing your translation of documents, just one way.
French to English, German to English, Russian to English.
Okay. I guess English being your native language, it made sense to...
Yeah. Yeah. That's generally what a translator will do. You get some people who are skilled enough to work both ways. You know, they grew up in one country and moved to another country and you know, stayed there and learned the language like a native sort of thing.
Yeah.
But even so, it's hard to do. It's really hard to translate the other way.
Yeah, and so French and German and Russian are not linguistically related.
No, it's all been kind of flukes. I mean, I learned French when I moved to Canada when I was 10. We started French in high school. In school, so I learned French in school.
just as I did, but I couldn't translate.
No, I just kept it up. And then when I went in the Army, I had my Army French courses as well. So,
okay.
And that really solidified it for me.
And stationed in Germany.
I was stationed in Germany, which is partly where I started to learn German.
Okay.
And then Russian came because I started university in 1987.
Okay. Oh, right.
Glasnost, Perestroika, Gorbachev. It was all happening right then. Okay. And I thought, hey, this is a good time to learn Russian because, you know, everything's opening up. Maybe we'll get a chance to do some work in Russian. And in fact, I had a job lined up there in 1992.
In Russia?
In Kazan, yeah, as a newspaper editor. And I was 25 years old. It was just crazy to think that I was going to go to Russia and then the revolution happened with Yeltsin on the tank and all of that stuff, and unfortunately the newspaper closed down and I didn't get my job, so never went.
Didn't go.
Never been.
Not at all.
Never been.
Oh, no. Too bad.
And these days I wouldn't go. So
yeah. Can you understand spoken Russian?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that it does.
Yeah, absolutely.
Go to that extent. Okay.
Well, yeah, I can understand it. I just producing it much harder.
Right. Yeah,
much harder.
Yeah. So how similar is that to Ukrainian? I mean,
they're quite similar. I can follow probably 50% of Ukrainian.
Okay.
You know, as long as they're not speaking too fast.
Yeah.
Then I can generally follow them. They tend to find it easier to speak to understand Russian than the other way around.
Okay, because I've heard that it's one of those mutually understandable languages,
you know,
similar to Norwegian and Swedish.
Yeah.
Okay, I think we've hit a pause.
Okay.
I think we need some more music.
Okay.
More Dichroma. This is Broken Inside, again from the album 3, and we'll listen to that. Dichroma, that was called Broken Inside. And Kate picked up on an odd time signature for that. She said it's in 5-4 time, yep, part of the time, and then switches back to, what, 4-4?
Yeah.
Right, have to talk to Aaron Daw again and find out what that's all about.
It's an old trick in music. I mean, it goes back to Dave Brubeck.
Yeah, Take 5.
Take 5, exactly. Yeah. Which is probably the most famous 5-4 tune that anybody knows.
Yeah. All right. Well, we've been talking about what you've been doing, you know, as a translator. We're talking about the condition of just social, I don't know, what would you call that? The social milieu, which has degenerated over the last
four or five years. Yeah.
What can be done? What can be done to return things to normal? I don't mean normal as in as it was before, but normal as in where everything is accepted as normal.
Yeah, it's an interesting question. What I do is I'm very public about being trans, like I've been in the newspaper and on TV and everything else. And the reason, there's two reasons that I do that. And one is for the trans community and one is for the cis community. That being cisgender, which is the opposite of transgender.
Right.
For the trans community, I'm public because I want people to be able to see that we can live long and happy lives after transition.
Yeah.
And
well, that's why you do it in the first place.
Exactly. But I want them to be able to see it.
Okay.
Right? I want kids to be able to see that and say, oh, okay, there is hope for me.
Yeah.
Right? And for cis people, I want cisgender people to be able to see me and know that, yes, I am happy. Yes, I'm not some dangerous predator. That I'm just another person in the community. I serve on committees. I help out with the school board. I do, you know, I mean, I'm a regular mom in the community sort of thing.
Yeah.
So that's the reason that I'm public, and that for me is what I try and do to try and make things better.
And have you made a good penetration into the community to accomplish that?
Absolutely. I do education work for Spectrum, where we go into companies and organizations and help them learn how to deal with the queer community. And that's gone really well. People really appreciate the education we bring them. So I think slowly we're, you know, piece by piece changing people.
Yeah. Aren't the equity laws, the Charter of Rights and such, isn't that sufficient to have companies deal with people of various sexual orientations?
It doesn't mean they know how, right?
Mm.
Like if somebody comes to you, they're working for you, and they want to transition at work, how do you deal with that? I mean, you know, how do you deal with telling the other employees? How do you deal with getting them to understand that the new pronoun, the name should be used? How do you get them accustomed to the fact that a different bathroom is going to be used? All of these things have to be worked out when somebody transitions at work. And the company may not have any idea how to deal with that. So what we do in terms of our education is to give them the basics of how to do it right, and then they can use those principles to approach the person and do a good job with HR and so on. What frequently happens is somebody from HR will set up a meeting with the staff, and if they're smart about it, they don't actually invite the trans person to that meeting. Well, they do briefly. She goes, or he goes, and they say, hi, you know, this is me, I'm transitioning, and then they leave. And the reason they leave is because that way there's no pressure on the people behind to make sure that they get their language perfect and don't offend her or him. And so they can ask their honest questions and deal with their concerns without making the employee feel bad about their colleagues not knowing how to deal with them, sort of thing.
Right.
So that's the idea anyway. Yeah.
Is that a big deal to trans people to be misgendered?
Oh, yeah. People don't like it. It's not fun.
No.
You know, I mean, I volunteered for many years for my political party, and in doing so, I don't phone bank because I hate getting misgendered on the phone all the time.
Yeah.
It's so distressing, and it just gets heavy, and it's just like, oh, come on, people. Yeah.
I have to admit that I've done that. I'm a perpetrator of misgendering people. People who've transitioned recently, especially, where...
It happens.
Yeah.
It happens. And, you know, the thing that when I teach people about this, what I say is you treat it like stepping on someone's toe.
Hmm.
You treat it exactly like stepping on someone's toe. If you step on someone's toe, what do? You say sorry and you move on.
Yes.
That's it. You don't have to tell them that you're really a good person and you don't mean it and... And all, I mean, those things are all assumed.
Okay.
Right? So that's what we encourage people to do, is just, you know, you misgender somebody, you say, oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And then move on.
Okay. I've probably done that in having misgendered someone.
Exactly. And if you do it that way, it's not going to be a big problem.
Yeah.
You know, you see videos of trans people going off on one when they've been misgendered. You get these viral videos of somebody, you know, losing their nut when they are being misgendered. But what they don't show you is the 37th time it happened to her that day.
And possibly it was done deliberately.
And possibly, and at least some of those were done deliberately. Yeah. So, yeah, it's just kind of like, oh, come on. I just want to get through my day, you know?
So if we want to take advantage of the courses that you're running, is that done through Spectrum here?
Yeah.
Okay, so have links to that in our show notes as well.
Yeah.
And then anybody who wants to take advantage of...
The Rainbow Diversity Training Team.
Rainbow Diversity Training.
Yeah.
Okay. That's a good name. I like that.
Yeah.
All right, you've got about 5 minutes left.
Mm-hmm.
Want to go over the petition one more time?
Sure.
So we've got the petition, which is about what?
It's the idea is to extend asylum protections to trans people no matter what country they're coming from, trans and non-binary people. And the idea is that there are eliminationist laws being passed in these countries like the U.S. and the United Kingdom, and that as a result, these countries shouldn't be considered safe third countries anymore as far as trans people are concerned.
And what we can do is go to the website, petitions.rcommons.ca. There's a search button there, which I just found out, and you can actually type in just the search into the search bar, the petition number 4268.
Yep.
That brings it up. Gender identity and gender expression, E4268.
Yes.
Give it a signature, and hopefully we'll get this passed into law. When the petition closes, there's really only an obligation for it to be debated in the House of Commons, isn't it? It doesn't actually require them to take action on this.
No. And that's why I'm hoping... When I initially did it, I was hoping that we might get as many as 10,000 signatures if we got lucky over the 4 months.
Right.
We've got 18,000 so far and some odd extras.
Yeah, 18,559.
Nice. And that's in less than a week. Actually, it's just over a week, I should say. Yeah. So what I'm now hoping is that we can hit 100,000. Yeah. And the reason that I picked that number is because it's approximately the size of a federal riding.
Right.
Give or take a bit.
Yeah, that's about right.
And I figure if we can get a full riding's worth of people to say, we think this is a problem, that might be something that they sit up and take listen of.
You would think it carries some weight.
You would hope so.
As with proportional representation, this being scattered across the entire country, it may not carry the weight that we want it to carry.
Exactly.
We'll do our best.
Yeah.
So we'll have a link to that petition on our website as well, radiowaterloo.ca/CCC for community connections.
Terrific.
And then click on the link, sign the petition. And you're asked, when you sign on the petition, you're asked for your name, your address, I think your phone number as well.
Yeah.
And then get a confirmation email, which you need to confirm in order to actually have your signature count.
Yes.
And then I guess it goes to the clerk of
the House of Commons.
Yeah, and who will then take it to Mike Morris, who will stand up in the House to read the petition and say, this is what Canadian citizens want.
Yeah.
All right. I guess we have one more piece of music.
Sure.
Which I will talk over. Sorry, Aaron. That will be the end of our show today. We have been listening to CKMS Community Connections. My name is Bob Jonkman. I had in the studio as guest, Kate Glasson.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, who is an activist at large.
Mm-hmm.
You were at one point the president of Spectrum, weren't you?
I was, yeah.
Yeah. But have...
Moved on.
Moved on to do bigger and better things
in
a larger area of the community.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is CKMS Community Connections. My name is Bob Jonkman. CKMS Community Connections is produced by Radio Waterloo. It is sponsored by Radio Waterloo. The executive producer is Jennifer Strong. Associate producers are Jeff Steger and Steve Todd, who wrote our opening theme music. We're listening to Dichroma. This is a song called Strange Attractor from their album called Three. We've had in the studio Kate Glasson. Thank you very much for coming in and taking an entire hour of your afternoon and being on the radio with me.
Thank you very much. It was my pleasure.
See you again next Friday or Monday at 11 a.m.
color